Children in the house. Sons and daughters, amen. All children of the Heavenly Father, amen. But when the concept gets into you, as it is obviously in some, it resonates, makes a difference, amen. Praise Lord. Do you have one more praise and worship song to sing? I'm not a crowd pleaser, sister, but kind of like to hear the last bit of again when he split the sea part. I want to hear that again. Here you are. I want to set the context a little bit so you can worship in it a little bit. The context is, you are being chased by those who want to kill you, the Egyptians. And if they don't kill you, they want to bring you back into slavery. They want to bring you back to where you were. All of a sudden, you're standing there and the sea splits. Hallelujah. Now, friends, when the sea splits in front of you, go through it. Because there is a promised land waiting. Amen. Don't sit on the shoreline when the sea splits. All right? Let's sing that little bit here. Amen. I might get preaching.
He split the sea so I could walk right through it.
Have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed.
Amen.
And he is according to the promise.
We're Israel.
For he spoke creation. The God of heaven knew our names. We're formed in his reflection. We are his glory on display.
Can you get this in your mind and your spirits today?
And his heart is good. the cross he proved, he is on our side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God. No matter where we go, we're close to the Father's heart. And though we stumble, he will not let us fall. We are the Lord, and he will never forsake his own. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God.
Amen.
His love he lavished on us and called us children of the King. In his loving kindness, he chose the lowly and the meek. And his heart is good. He's always kind. With the cross he proved, he's on our side. We are the sons, we are the daughters of God.
Thank you, Lord God, for making us in your image and allowing your image to be reflected through us, Father. We ask, O God, that you would continue to shine the dust and the fog of this world off of us, Father God, that light which is within us may shine brightly. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Josiah is going to come and sing as the offering is taken up.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God delivered the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So it is as evening and it is morning for the first day.
I see trees.
Shane is coming at this time to share a little testimony.
I wrote down what I wanted to say. And last night went to make it into a nice new copy, make it legible for me. And it just kept getting worse. I started praying and I started asking the Lord, I need your help. I can't do this. And I kept changing things and changing things. Finally, I said to my wife, that's it. I've had enough. I'm going to speak it from the heart. So that's what I'm going to do. But first, I need to talk to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for where you brought me from.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're taking me to.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you, Lord, for these people. They are here today. I thank you for the ones that have participated. It's brought tears to my eyes. I'm grateful to see Lord's great creations in action.
Mm-hmm.
I was born April 19th, 1967. I'm adopted. I'm from a blended family of eight. When I was born, they thought I was going to die. I showed no emotion, and they thought I was blind. For many years, I seen many specialists, and they kept saying the same thing over and over again. There's nothing we can do. There was a doctor I met back in, the early 70s, and his name was Dr. Galway. And he said, Shane, the TV's in front of you, and you turn your head this way, and the TV's there, and you look, and you see the TV. He says, you do that. He says, you looking straight on it, you can't see. But because of the movement of your eyes, you turn your head slightly, you'll be able to see the TV better. And for over 40 years, I've been doing that. Most of my life, because of handicaps and disabilities or disorders and so on, people pick on me. And people of authority crapped on me. In my teens and my early 20s, I was sexually abused. I turned to drugs and alcohol to bury that pain. And for years I went on like that, bearing the pain and drugs and alcohol. But through that time, there were little spouts of where God was working in my life. He was showing His light.
Yes.
I kept praying that He would find me a partner that could work with me and help me grow as a person. I prayed for years. I went through more and more trials at work, harassment, abuse, through people saying, you're no good. You'll never amount to nothing. I kept going. I kept knowing there was a better way of life. And the deepest part of my addiction, I started calling out to God. And on my 40th birthday, I accepted Him into my heart. And at that time, because I was being cleansed from all the street drugs that I did, they put me on Dr. Pharma. I was on Dr. Pharma for 9 years. During that time, the Lord worked in me, guided me to a wonderful church where I've been able to give in many ways and also to receive. I've been very grateful for that. Lord brought Sandra into my life. She's been with me through the darkest times of my life.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I started a new medication. I won't discuss that. But I will tell you what is done. Excuse me. While I was on that medication of Big Pharma, I was angry. I was very negative, and I was numbed. Now, I'm not numbed. I know how to say I'm sorry. And that has in turn led to a 2-hour conversation with my wife this week. She doesn't know how to deal with me recently because I'm a joker. I joke around at home. I make funny voices, funny sounds. I'm just being me. I've been suppressed. And now it's like the genie's been let out of the bottle. And that's all by God's grace. That's not by mine. He has given me a gift of music, which I'm able to share here. There are times where I've had to step away because of what's inside of me. I felt it wasn't right. Was it right for me to sit up over there and play drums when my heart's not right? So several times I've had to step down because of something that's not right in here. And admitting that there's something wrong is the first step. I'm so grateful to have the Lord in my life today.
Yes.
If I was out using and I lost both my parents, I'd probably be dead because I wouldn't know how to cope with their death. Because I lost my parents when I was clean and sober, and I was able to reach out to God for strength and help. I think I've spoken long enough. I do want to share one last thing. Saw this on Facebook. I had it printed on a shirt. I was going to wear that t-shirt today, but it didn't match for what I was wearing. So, well, the cow pastor's going to get up here and he's going to say, "I got to clean up the river."
Yeah, well, it's okay.
So anyways, here it is. I still believe in amazing grace that the power of the blood, sorry, it should be in the power of the blood, that He walks with me and He talks with me. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. All because the old rugged cross.
Yes.
Thank you.
I want you. One more thing. Because after 40-some years, you finally get diagnosed with what?
After 42 years, I got diagnosed with Asperger's.
And then?
My life made sense to me.
It all makes sense. All of the ways of dealing, you know. And so, but for the first 42, it was just... just some guy that's hard to work for or hard to work with or hard to, because we didn't understand. But now it all makes sense. I have an Asperger's son, and it helped me understand shame and understand how he functions, how he works, and it will help you too as the body of Christ as we minister one to another. Thanks, Shane. So on this special Sunday of Inclusion Sunday, we talk about abilities, disabilities, physical, emotional, mental. It's all a little different. I pray that you just bless somebody today. And hey, Brian, why don't you have your headphones on? It's fixed? You got healed? Amen. All right. You can hear me? Because I don't want you to miss out in sermon just because you're too stubborn to go back there and get the headphones. Because we do have headphones for those that are have a hard time hearing. You like that? All right, let's start. I think we should start with prayer again. Father, we thank you, Lord, for one another. For what may appear to be disability, Father God, help us, Lord, to see the ability. Maybe we just have to, just like Shane looking at the TV, couldn't see it until he turned his head and saw it from a different angle. And Father, Lord, teach us how to see people from a different angle so that we can see clearly and not men as trees. Touch us again, O Lord, that we may see clearly. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, everyone said. Amen. This past week, I attended the annual Ottawa Valley or Ottawa Area Pastors Prayer Retreat, where we were led by a facilitator from Georgia, from Atlanta, Georgia. And I kind of thought, what a waste of money bringing in a guy, two guys from Georgia, just to sit back and kind of facilitate us in prayer. Like, you know, where, you know, there was 101 pastors and leaders. And do we need someone from Georgia to tell us how to pray? You know, so, you know, I kind of think of how much it costs to fly them up here. And all. You know, that was initially in my mind a little bit there. I'm so glad that we did have them. They brought nothing of any kind of astounding teaching except the presence of God and the humility of the Holy Ghost. So I thank the Lord for that. The next slide. There were several questions that were given to the pastors, given to the leaders. I don't know if you can see it. I'll read it anyways. And here was one of them. And I found that from the very first question, the anointing of the Holy Ghost was there in a powerful way. And, of course, you know, it's 101 leaders that are at this event. And the question came up. There's our presenter from Georgia. And anyways, I took a picture of it. I don't know why. I just took a picture of it, you know. We're not supposed to use our cell phones in the conference either. We're supposed to set it aside, no texting and whatnot. But I just wanted to take a picture of it because I was turned away from the screen, you know, as around tables, and I just wanted to have the questions in front of me. And so, anyways, I took a picture of it, and now I know why, because the Lord wanted to do something deeper. But the question was, Father God, here's the prayer, and then we would discuss it and share what the Spirit God would reveal. Father God, what is your heart for the people of the church that you have called me to love and to serve? That's the prayer. You could pray it as well. You could pray it family, business. You could pray it whatever it is that God has called you to be in leadership in. And then there's the second part of it. The second prayer was, please show me who they are to you. See, who they are to me sometimes are just a pain, some of them, you know. I won't point you out, Shane. And, over the course of history, you know. Show me how you see them. I'm a spiritual guy, right? Began to pray. You know, I was thinking of lunch. spiritual, you know, different things, you know, man of God. Anyways, in the midst of my, because there's such an anointing in the room, such an anointing, you know, sometimes, you know, it's good to be in a place,
you know, you say, well, it doesn't matter what church or where you go or whatever else, you know. So, you know, sometimes it does matter, friends, where you are and who you're around and what kind of anointing there is in the place. Because even though my mind was wandering, God intervened, and all of a sudden, I was walking in a gallery, an art gallery. And I was looking at the paintings in the art gallery in my vision as I was praying, and here were beautiful pictures, pictures, just wonderful pictures of scenery. I was being blessed by these pictures. And as I walked along in the gallery, it went from my kind of style to an impressionist art, and I went, okay, well, that's neat, and the Picasso kind of stuff where everything's a little bit out of order, and then into contemporary stuff, which, you know, is a waste of money, you know, I think, you know. And then I got into junk art, you know, where they take, you know, recycled stuff and turn it into paintings and, you know, and just the weird kind of things. And I was going, like, in my spirit, I was saying, why is this stuff here? I didn't pick this. This is not what I want. And that's when God's Spirit spoke to me and said, I have called you to be a curator, not a collector. And as soon as the opportunity came, as soon as the prayer time was over, I was able to share it with the body of Christ. And I said, here's what the Spirit of God has revealed to me. He said to me, he said, the collection is not yours. The collection is mine. You're the curator. You're the museum curator. You're the art gallery curator. You're there to dust it off and make sure it's hung right, or whatever else my job is to do as pastor and leader, as an elder in the body of Christ. It is, collection is mine. I have brought these from here and from there and from whatever else. I find worth in all of them, and I have placed them in my collection, and you just look after them. You know, when you ask of the Lord sincerely, He delivers sincerely. Jesus, we have been doing a bit of a series on discipleship. Jesus, when He gathered His disciples together, it was a weird collection, friends. I don't have time today to get into some of those things. They had a vast difference in education, in family background, in occupation, personalities, abilities, disabilities, whatever it may be. They had a variety of things. And He gathered these individuals, he gathered His collection together, and He spent extensive time with them one-on-one, trying to get them into the message of what the kingdom of God was all about. And He used illustrations from nature, and He used illustrations from the culture that were surrounding about them, all to get them to get this understanding of what the kingdom is, and they didn't get it. Always. And then He would have to tell them again, and they wouldn't get it. And He had to go to the cross, and they didn't get it. And He had to rise from the dead, and they begin to get it. All right? But He just had the patience to deal with all of these different people and to speak to them in a certain way that they would, at least the seeds would be there, that there would be a day of an aha moment when they would open up and realize, oh, that is what the Lord was saying. I get it. But it took 3.5 years of His life just pouring into these individuals for them even to get to the point where they were ready to understand. And then He tells this group of individuals, just as He is ready to go from this world after the resurrection, in Matthew chapter 28, if you want to look at there, you have the commission as the Lord goes up. He tells them to go and to make disciples of all nations. Meaning every people group, and He's starting with the people groups that were most rejected and misunderstood by culture of the day. The sick, the diseased, the lame, the poor, the handicapped, these are the ones that they went out to initially. These are people, these are nations, friends. These are ethnos in the Greek. These are people groups of all different kinds, you know, the rich, the poor, the everything in between. Go and make disciples of all nations, not just by the nation, national borders change, friends, all the time. You know, prostitution is a nation. So the strip clubs and whatnot. My daughter is going to that nation and ministering to them. Over 2,000 years later, here we are, and the commandment has not changed. It's the same. Make disciples of all nations, all groups, all classes, all categories of humanity, wherever the image of God has been stamped. We need to, but to do that, we have to accept whom the Lord brings to us. Acceptance is kind of an interesting thing. I want to spend a few minutes on that. If I can, Genesis chapter, I want to just go through the scriptures just a little bit. And here is Genesis chapter 4, the first time that acceptance, we don't have the word inclusion in the King James, and so let's go with the word acceptance. The very first one, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, it's the Cain and Abel story, you know it. God speaks to Cain, he says this, "Why are you angry?" After Cain's offering was not accepted, and Abel's offering was accepted by God, he says, "Why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do well, if you do not well, sin lies at the door." This is the first time we see the word accepted. And we don't like it. Why do we not like it? Maybe we do like it. Because it appears to be based on performance. Right? If you do well, you will be accepted. If you don't do well, sin lies at the door. And we say, surely, God, you're better than that. We're thinking from a new covenant age. We're thinking from new covenant experience. And we're looking back and trying to reinterpret the scriptures. But here, you know, when you look at the word, there's so many different words used for acceptance. The word for acceptance here in the Hebrew means elation, cheerfulness, the joy of being exalted. Yes, yes, God is saying here that, yes, obedience is the best kind of sacrifice. If you will obey what I command you to do, you will experience joy. You will experience the blessing. You will experience elation. The acceptance of the things when you do the things that are right are a benefit to you. So we start the very first time we look at the word accepted. It's to bless you. You do what God says in His Word, and you will be blessed. It's not like God is like saying, "Listen, I need a thrill. Could you do what I tell you to do so I can get a bit of a kick out of it?" No, we misunderstand. He says, "I want you to be I want you to do the accepted thing because I want you to be blessed." Exodus chapter 28, quickly, verse 38 here. I won't read the text, but here is the robes of Aaron. It's kind of a boring text of Scripture. I mean, they're talking about the tassels, they're talking about this, they're talking about that. And then God says, "If you will dress yourself this certain way, you will be accepted." Dress code? You mean I have to have a certain way of getting dressed? You know, some legalists and some circles, and we certainly have all been there ourselves. You know, I understand. You know, you got to dress a certain way, and God will accept you. But you have to understand what He's saying in this text of Scripture. He is saying that each part of the outfit of the priest has meaning and significance, and when you put it all together, you have a message. And so He was saying that if you get the message right, if you get the clothing right, the clothing being the message, the medium being the message, amen? He says, when you get the message right, I will accept it. You know, we are priests in the New Testament. And we want to get the message of His plan. We want to get the message, His garment right. The word here in Hebrew means pleasure, take delight in, and experience satisfaction. In the message, God says, "I will bless you with all of these things." I want to keep moving on because of time. Job chapter 42. Because we're moving, kind of getting closer to the New Testament. You see that, you know, Genesis, it kind of starts there. Kind of, you know, you do the right thing. You know, in Exodus, you kind of wear the right thing. But underlying is this word acceptance, meaning so much more than just if you cross the line, you get a reward. And then you get to Job, and the very last chapter of Job, and don't have time to go through the story of Job, but certainly Job was a man who lost it all. He was attacked of the devil viciously, and God allowed it. Oh, man. And then he had, for multiple chapters, his buddies sit and tell him how he must have had failed God somewhere. And God doesn't say a word. And finally, in the 42nd chapter, in the very end of it, God speaks into the situation, and He speaks to the guys that are criticizing Job and putting him down, and well-meant, religious, well-meaning, trying to point out his sin, trying to point out the error of his ways, trying to point out where his faith had failed him, because if he had a trust in God, none of this would have happened to him, according to them. God speaks this word, accepted. It says, listen, and I like it in the King James, it just simply says this. He says, him I will accept. And in this text, the meaning of the word means to lift up, to give help to hold up, to meet the needs, to raise up, to exalt. In fact, in this text of Scripture, God speaks to the guys that were critical of Job, and He says, you've got to get Job to pray for you. Because I'm pretty ticked off with you guys. And you see, the prayer of Job I will accept. Why? Because I've chosen him. I accept him. I lift him up. I exalt him. I have chosen in my sovereignty, in who I am, I have chosen Job. He even showed Job off before the devil and said, have you ever considered my servant Job? Don't you wish that God would not show you off to the devil? You know, I mean, in the sense of Job there. You know, God is your picture on God's fridge type of thing, you know, your artwork or whatever, you know. I mean, have you ever considered my servant Job? And then look what he goes through and all the criticism, condemnation, blah, blah, blah. But you get to this chapter 42. Isn't this worth it? Job himself said, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. He hung on to that. God knows best for me. God says in the very end, he says, I accept him. He says to the friends, you don't accept him. Big deal. I've accepted. He says, and NIV says this in verse 8, my servant Job, he will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer. Friends, I've had some humbling prayers over me by some strange people. I was prayed over by a street pastor, a street person in Haiti, when I gave them something. Years ago, I remember giving them something, and they had nothing to give back to me, and so they said, can I pray for you? They got nothing. The guy had 8 children. I mean, the little bit of I was just before I was leaving Haiti, and so I didn't need an extra pair of shorts. I just gave him my luggage. You take it. He just so blessed. He prayed for me. I don't know what he said, and I was blessed. One of the reasons why I'm here is because a mentally challenged individual in New Brunswick prophesied over me that I was coming back to Ontario on a day when I was seeking the Lord to know what His direction was. Some of you know the story how that I just came into this flower shop and a guy there says, I've got a word from God for you. This guy, monster guy like this, said, I've got a word from God for you, but I got to pee. So he heads off to the bathroom, and I have this choice at this time standing in this flower shop. Do I stay and hear what this guy has to say, or do I get out of here? He comes out of the bathroom with his hand right like that. I don't think he washed him. That doesn't matter. That freaks my wife out. Just came there and just hit me in the chest and began to prophesy over me. Said, I'm sending you back to where you came from, Ontario. I've had Brenda Atkinson, anyone that's had Sister Atkinson pray for you. Oh God, bless Pastor North. She's with Jesus now praying. I've had prayers of my son Josiah when I've had panic attacks, and I've called out in the night and have him come over and lay hands on me and pray for me. His prayer I will accept, the Lord says. We need to start seeing people different than what we see them. I want to show a video clip at this time of a guy that's gone viral. It's from Nova Scotia, a guy in Truro, Nova Scotia, father that just came out of a convenience store and had something happened to him there. You'll hear about it. And he just put his phone up, as some do, and I haven't figured this out just yet. But anyways, he made a copy. He just had to share, and it went viral and was on the CBC this week. And I just want you to hear the father's heart, a father's heart, so that you can help to understand the father's heart. Can we do that?
Hey, so I'm just making this video because I feel like I need to karmically reset what just happened to my own soul, I guess. I was at a store looking at a movie, and there was a father there with his two sons, and they were looking at movies, and the father mentioned that he could, pick out a movie. And I heard the son say about a movie he had picked out, what's Down syndrome? Because the movie that he picked out was a baseball movie that had a kid in it with Down syndrome. His name was Produce, I think. It was a good movie. My wife and I had watched it. And he asked his dad, what is Down syndrome? I didn't think his dad was trying to be mean. I could see he was searching for the right thing to say. And he said it was an illness. It was an illness of not knowing anything. And it's one of those moments where you don't know how to act. You don't know how to react. I didn't say anything. I'm not the type to get in, people's faces and say things about it, but I heard that voice in my head say, tell them what it is. And I didn't. I let that ignorance grow in another generation. And failed my son. I don't mean to get emotional about this and be an exhibitionist about it, but I have to reset that button because I failed him in that moment. Down syndrome is literally one of the most beautiful things that's ever happened in my life. It's fun. It's brilliant. It's amazing. It's funny, it's kind, it's loving, it's cuddly, they're great teachers, people with Down syndrome. It's not an illness. It's not an illness. It is not even a disability. Just because you read slower or you don't run as fast does not mean you have a disability to me. This is what I learned from Turner. Disabilities are perception. I believe people are teachers and learners, and we're both. We have the ability to teach things, and we're here to learn things. And a well-educated man does not have more to teach than my son. He has different things to teach, but he does not have more to teach. His knowledge is not more valuable. Down syndrome is the best thing that ever happened to me, but I didn't say that. I didn't step up for my son and for other people with Down syndrome. And that was devastating to me in that moment. So I just wanted to write that publicly for myself. Thank you. Hey, so I'm just making this video because
that's as far. That's good.
I feel like I need to.
That's actually just the end. Actually, just repeating. I like the part in particular where he says, "You know, educated people don't have anything more to teach than my son does with autism or with Asperger's or with whatever it may be or Down syndrome. They just have different things to teach." I want one last scripture here, if you can juggle things. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. That I would like you to turn to that in your Bibles. Just as we close, we're going to run just a little bit over this morning, because I do want us to look at this text of scripture. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. Accept one another just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God, says it in the NIV. The King James says, glory to God. Can I read it again? Accept one another, then just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. There are three things in this very quickly. Number one, there is the command. He says this in the scriptures. He says, accept one another. That is not in any other tense except the imperative. What does that mean? It means do it. Accept one another. Accept who's in the art gallery of God's collection. And the word accept here in the Greek, because we're in the Greek, we're in the New Testament, it means, I love this. Can I get blessed again? Hallelujah. To receive kindly. To treat with kindness. It means to welcome in the broadest sense. To receive wholeheartedly. To grant admission. Welcome. You're welcome. Accept one another. Welcome one another. In fact, one commentator goes on and says, to grant admission into your own heart. Not just into your club. Not just into your church. Not just even into your home. But to accept into your heart. Welcome. We can tolerate people without welcoming them. You understand what I'm saying? We can put up with people without accepting them in here. We can allow people to come into this space or whatever space it is, and we can put up with them, and we can say, well, you know, the Lord has given us a cross to bear, and it's brother so-and-so, you know, or whatever it may be. We can tolerate. But the text of Scripture here goes beyond that. It says to accept, to welcome, to bring in, to wholeheartedly receive. Can you stand right now? It's not the end. I get some of you are getting excited. Can you just greet one another? Can you just welcome one another this morning with this text of Scripture in mind? That you're not just greeting them, you're welcoming them. Say, I welcome you. I welcome you. Welcome. Welcome. Wake them up if you have to wake them up. That's fine. Welcome. 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 Now you may be seated. The second thing is, because I'm moving quickly, the first thing is the command. The second thing of this command is the standard. It says, as Christ has accepted you. So you have a command, but then you have a standard. And the standard is Christ. Does anybody here have any doubt that the standard of Christ is perfect? Does anybody here have any doubt that the standard of Christ's acceptance of us was while we were yet sinners, while we're yet ungodly, while we're yet at enemies with God? Christ died for us. And that's the standard to which He lays aside of this welcoming, accepting into our heart. Welcome. Welcome. And the last thing is the glory of God, or the praise to God. He says this, and that, by the way, is the little, I went and found online, that's the son of that father. That's the picture of that wee boy, eh? From Truro, Nova Scotia. That's the results, the glory to God. Why? When we welcome others into our heart, when we have acceptance of those that are in the body of Christ, those that God has brought in, who's going to get the glory? Be careful. We don't want to say, this church is a wonderful church because we accept others of different abilities and disabilities, etc. Or I'm a wonderful person. You wouldn't actually say that. But it's not for your glory, friends. It's that God would be glorified. Because when He is glorified, when He is praised, when He is exalted, when He is lifted up, He will draw all men unto Himself. When we are exalted because of our good works, only goes so far. You know, in marriage, I said marriage because I'm married. That's why I did this. And not this. Or this. God puts different people together. He doesn't put the same people together. You know, when Josiah, when we were trying to explain a few years back about when he started to get the concept of I'm autistic, what does that mean? This may be, according to the doctors, the wrong thing to say, but I said, you're different. And so when he would see someone with Down syndrome, he would see somebody, he says, they're different. I said, yes. And that's probably the wrong thing to say because, you know, we should be saying inclusion means they're the same. I realize that. But trying to give that definition as we stumble as parents to try to figure things out. But, you know, when God called us together, He did call very different kinds of people together. I was doing something for a marriage, pre-marriage that I was looking at today. And here's something that's said in marriage. It says, God, this is Rick Warner. God made you different so you can complement each other, complete each other, and strengthen each other. That is about marriage. But can we not apply that to every kind of thing? To your height, your depth, your color, your creed, your background, your abilities, your personalities, the things, your pains, and all the stuff that you bear from wherever it is that you came, your educational level, whatever it may be. Can we, when we bring this group of people together, you see, I love being in a country church, hallelujah. Because what tends to happen in urban churches is everybody that's the same goes to this one, and everyone's the same goes to this one. If you like healing, well, all the healers go here. If you like prophecy, all the prophecies go there. If you like, you know, they all kind of get into the common thing. And there is a strength to that, and I'm not knocking that, because God does raise up different churches for different purposes. Okay? Not knocking them. But it tends to be a weakness. I like the country church because the millionaire and the guy with the... I won't point out who's the millionaire here. But the guy with the sandals that wears it all winter long goes to the same church. Amen? The very different people brought together. Can we not apply this to us? God made you different so that you can complement each other, complete each other, and strengthen one another. Where God is praised most is when we overcome the greatest of differences. Where God is praised most is where we overcome the greatest of differences. Whether it's a marriage or whatever it is. That's where the blessing of God comes, when we overcome these great differences, and then God gets all the glory. Why? Because we can't do it. I say this in closing. Did I say closing before? But you know you've arrived. Just in case, here's the litmus test. You know you've arrived at a place of acceptance. Are you ready? When you acknowledge that you would not be complete without that other person. I want to say it again, and I'm talking to the church, the body of Christ. You know you've arrived at a place of acceptance, not just because most of the time, friends, we just tolerate. We don't move on to the depth of acceptance. When we come into acceptance, we recognize that we need the other person. That person of ability, that person that's different, that person that has a mental or physical or whatever struggle that they may have. When we come to the point of saying, you know what, the church wouldn't be the church. We wouldn't be complete. We wouldn't be complete as a body without that person. That what they bring to the body of Christ is something that we need. And if we didn't have it, we wouldn't really be total. Then you know you've come to a place of acceptance. Can you pray with me today? Because we do have to close. Let's just pray today. I want to pray a prayer. I wish, if I was like the prophet of Georgia, I'd have the prayer up there, but I'm not that smart. Can we pray a simple prayer today? First of all, I guess we're going to have to repent. Sorry to mention that nasty word, but it's a beautiful word. If the Spirit of God has somehow through music or testimony today, because I'm only playing a little part here with the preaching, if God has used something today that has brought an awareness, just as you're praying right now, as the Spirit of God is moving in your heart and life, and there's something that the Spirit of God says to you, you know what? I want you to move into a place of acceptance. You've been good, you've been tolerating. But now I want you to move into a place of acceptance. And before you do, I want you to ask forgiveness. I want you to seek me for forgiveness. For not accepting. And may the Spirit of God right now, as you're praying that prayer, may He reveal to you the thing that you are not accepting. Whether it is a personality disorder, whether it's a smell, whether it's a whatever it is that keeps you from accepting somebody else. We just say, Lord, forgive us, Lord, for allowing whatever it is to be a barrier. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us, O God. And now, Father, we move into this prayer of acceptance. Would you stand to your feet as we close? That'll help me. That'll help me close. Could you do something freaky again? Or you don't have to, if you can't stand up, because we have people of different abilities here, and if you can't stand, that's fine. Could you reach out and could you hold some hands? Actually, could you go across the aisle and hold some hands from folks that are across the aisle? Because you know the people that live on this side of the church are really weird, and you sit on this side of the church to stay away from the people on this side of the church. So I want to make sure that you actually join hands together today. Amen. Come on, honey. I know he's weird. But could you? Come on. I know it's scary. Okay, you're doing a little bit. That's okay. You're doing a little. I'll get in here. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. All right. Weikertz and Garlow, come on in here and hold hands with somebody. Or is Glenn back there? Oh, come back here. He left when we probably had the shaking of hands, you know. Oh, there he is. What are you doing? You're squealing on your brother. Squealing on him. Okay, now Glenn, you have to hold hands with the baby that's crying. You have to accept her. All right? Okay, we're okay? All right, Father. Father, we accept everybody that you've brought into this collection. No matter how weird they are, Father. No matter how different they are from us, Lord, bring us to a place, Father God, today where without them, Lord, we'd be incomplete. And Father, may they not just hear that in our prayer today, but Father, may they feel that and sense that in our actions. Father God, Lord, move in our spirit today. Lord God, and may the strength of our spirit wash over into our soul and body and do a mighty work today. Father God, we know that there are many things that separate us, Father God, but the Spirit of God is that which brings us together. And so, Holy Spirit, Lord, be glorified. Jesus Christ, be honored. God the Father, because you are the Father of us all, and we are your sons, and we are your daughters. And that means we're a family. thank you, Lord God, for this today. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing that song while we're still holding hands and you still feel the sweat of somebody else's hand. And it's getting freaky and you don't like it. All right, come on.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family, the family.
May the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost rest and abide with each one of you, bringing you into the unity of the Spirit, which is the bond of love. Amen. God bless you today.